I started getting really frustrated, really angry, really upset, the point of tears running down my face. And I went into the house beside myself, completely beside myself. I found myself beating the living daylights out of the kitchen floor. And what was going through my mind at the time was, I don't want to be here anymore.
Hello and welcome to Life, Lemons and the Law, a Clark Wilmot podcast series all about life-changing experiences of all kinds with the people involved. We'll hear about the initial impact of those experiences and also our guests' long-term perspective on everything they've been through. On this episode, I'm talking to Lauren Chiron and Juliet Staunton, and we'll be discussing the menopause. We'll hear Lauren and Juliet's stories and find out how little is understood about the menopause by all sections of society, really, and strangely, how little it gets discussed. We'll look at the responsibilities of employers around this stage of life and hear the perspective of Lauren and Juliet about how we can all help shift this lack of understanding and the stigma that surround the menopause. So, Juliet and Lauren, can I ask you both to introduce yourself and say a little bit about what you do? Juliet, perhaps we can start with you.
Okay, yes, my name's Juliet Staunton. I'm an HR consultant at Clark Wilmot. I'm based out of the Taunton office. I've been with them since 2017.
Fantastic, thanks very much. And yourself, Lauren?
Hi, so my name's Lauren Chiron and I am the founder and CEO of Women of a Certain Stage. I set up this organisation because I'd left my job in my early 40s thinking I had early onset dementia. And when I discovered that it was just menopause, I realised there was a gap in my own knowledge and that of everyone I started speaking to. So Women of a Certain Stage is here to help make sure that employers become menopause savvy and individuals understand how to successfully navigate their own way through menopause.
Fantastic. I think now you've probably touched on this, but I don't know if you could go into any more depth. Why do you do what you do?
Having been a senior exec in financial services, I am also a sole parent of a child with lifelong medical needs. And whatever I ever decided to do work-wise, I just went off and did it. It never crossed my mind there was any barrier or cliff edge or any limitation to what I could do. I was in my third career. I'd worked as a corporate operations director for a number of years, working in global operations, retrained as a sports therapist, nutritional advisor, and personal trainer, and worked with sort of many people across the world. Did that for a few years, went back into the corporate world. And everything that ever came my way, you know, whatever challenges, I thrived on them. I loved building teams. I loved working in complex challenges and regulatory and compliance change in the organization that I was with. So when I found myself sitting in meetings unable to get the word plan out of my mouth in the middle of a planning meeting, or I would look at a colleague who had worked with me at a number of different firms over the years and I couldn't quite remember their name, or the day that I drove home from work, which from Swindon to Bristol, and got into the house, said hi to everybody, turned around, picked up my bags, said goodbye to everyone, and they asked me where I was going. I said, I'm going to work. Like, what do you mean you're going to work? You've just come home. Of course. And I just felt really stupid. So ultimately, my recall and my retention was really short. And my self-esteem and self-confidence was significantly lacking. So I made a decision that I needed to leave work because I thought I had early onset dementia. I thought I was going to have to find somewhere to go and live and find someone to bring up my son. And I thought, if I don't leave now, what happens if I really lose my ability to look after myself? What if someone else ends up making decisions for my son? That would be dreadful. Back then, I thought asking for help and support would have been a sign for weakness. It would give ammunition to colleagues to declare me not fit to be able to do my job. And if there was any question over my ability to bring up my son, that would have absolutely killed me as well. So I figured I'd just quietly step out, set things up, figure out a way forward. And it was really only 3 months later when my doctor told me I'd been through an early menopause that I started to realise that, one, I was the happiest menopausal woman in Bristol, because relative to dementia, I'll take menopause any day. And when I started speaking to people and chatting to people that I'd worked with, they declared that they were going through similar things. So I set up menopause socials. We collaborated and got women together. Four people turned up, then 44 people turned up, And it grew. And that was when I realized that I was onto something and started doing some research and never intended for this to be a business. But the last 8 years at the time of recording, for 8 years now, I've worked with organizations globally to help them become menopause savvy and to support people going through it so that they can successfully navigate their menopause.
Amazing. Thank you very much. Juliet, let's hear your story, I guess, starting with your first experience with the menopause.
Yeah. It's funny because I think, you know, listening to Lauren, my exposure and how I felt was not the same, but I resonate with some of the things she says. And that one of the first things that springs to mind is that each woman's journey, although every woman goes through menopause, some people go through completely unscathed, whereas others can have really horrific symptoms and a combination of different things. And then there's lots of women in between. So for me, my experience is about 2019, as I recall, I was 48 years old. And that's when I just started to feel out of sorts, for want of a better word. There were lots of different things that were going on. And I didn't automatically think, I must be going through the menopause, or it's the start of the change, as it used to be called. But it was just things that are really quite debilitating, though. For me, it was about lack of sleep. I would go to bed and then anywhere between midnight and 2 o'clock, wake up and then awake for hours and not able to get back to sleep. And then getting very anxious about that because I was worrying about the lack of sleep that I was getting. Having very physical symptoms of hot sweats and things like that, even though the house was kept quite cool. And then, like Lauren, I had some mental issues in terms of what's commonly known as brain fog. So where I would sit and do my job and find that I'd be trying to draft an email and just not being able to put the words together, and then just feeling incredibly frustrated and anxious, and worrying about how my employer might think about me by not being able to sort of respond very quickly like I used to be. And it's a tough thing because I've like Lauren, have worked for a lot of years and worked my way up into sort of quite senior roles and have managed, you know, things quite successfully, to all of a sudden start finding that you can't do something. It's such a horrible place to be. So because I was just feeling all of these different things, I took myself along to the doctor almost immediately. It was a female doctor, and she said, well, you're probably perimenopausal. And I'm embarrassed to know that I didn't even know what perimenopausal was. I just thought menopause, you know. And so that sort of triggered with me how ill-equipped I was to understand what I was likely to go through. I knew that this was a change of life sort of period, but I didn't know broadly how long it would take, or, you know, all of those different things. So it's been a journey of discovery, really, for me, but also a journey of trying to come to terms and deal with each day as it occurs. My doctor's prescribed HRT, and I've been on that for a number of years now, and I think that that has helped. But I do know that actually that whole process, there isn't just one pill fits all. It's quite a complex sort of thing. Each woman, again, is different. You know, there's probably a lot of people, because of, you know, stigma or people feeling embarrassed and the lack of general discussion in community and society on this topic, how very, very sad it is that each woman, you know, so that's 50% of the population, doesn't have the wherewithal to be able to feel confident that they can talk about these things and make sure that they're supported.
Now, you've both mentioned lack of support and a lack of understanding around the menopause. Lauren, is that common, this lack of support from employers, from society in general?
Again, this is changing. It's a moving feast now. And when I went through my experience, I didn't know what menopause was. So I didn't know to ask for help and support for menopause. And studies have shown that over 86, some studies come back saying 96% of women don't know what menopause is, nor how it's going to impact them. So if we don't know what it is because our mothers haven't spoken to us about it, we haven't been educated on it at school, then clearly we're in a bit of a black hole. So for me, that was the very first place that I felt we needed to start, was with that education. And thankfully now we have menopause on the curriculum in secondary schools, which is fantastic. That came in 2019. Sadly, the pandemic came along and not every school had that, you know, going full flight. So that will now be picking up, and the generation coming through is obviously going to at least have menopause as a word that is familiar to them. In fact, it came up in a GCSE last week. So it is definitely coming through, and it will become more normal for menopause to be on the table and for it to be something that people discuss. But in terms of support in the workplace, women have only recently started working as long and as late into life now, and we're holding down roles of responsibility in a way that we've never done before. But we're using the voice that we've got in a way that we can start to change the workplace and create an environment that's fit for purpose for women. Because with no criticism intended, the workplace is designed for men by men. That's just what it is. But women have perhaps been their own worst enemy because we've tried to fit in. So I think it's really important that we start having conversations to look at workplace culture, workplace structures, uniforms, all sorts of things that go to create the environment that allows us to thrive and be super successful. And, you know, many organizations are now looking at menstruation all the way through to menopause and looking to see what does it mean to be a really female-friendly employer.
In layman's terms, does it mean greater discussion? Does it mean the stigma disappearing from discussion of menstruation, from discussion of menopause? How do we get rid of that from a broad social perspective?
Yeah, I think the media has been doing a phenomenal job over recent years. We've seen a lot more about menopause in the media, a lot more programmes on television, on radio. We're in the middle of a parliamentary inquiry looking at menopause in the workplace. So we, depending when you're listening to this, the report from that should be out. And there's a possibility that menopause could become the 10th protected characteristic under the Equality Act. So that will mean for employers that they have got a flag that says they need to be raising awareness of menopause at work. It's so important that we start these conversations, start normalizing what menopause is and sharing with people, because people live in fear of the things they don't know, fear of saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing. The whole diversity agenda, inclusion agenda nowadays leaves people feeling very fraught with anxiety around how they should behave and how they should act. It's a massive transformation. And menopause is just one of those topics. So having conversations, making sure it's not once and done. So making sure we're doing awareness sessions for the people that are going to be impacted by it, and that's everybody. You're either going to go through menopause or you're going to live with, work with, or socialize somebody that is. So being able to recognize it, I think, is a life skill. And then understanding what the internal signposting is, understanding where you can go to get help and support, whether you're managing somebody going through it or whether you're going through it yourself. And as Juliet has referred to, being on HRT can be an absolute life changer for many women. And yet, sadly, less than 70% of people going through menopause are on hormone replacement therapy right now. So that's changing. Numbers have doubled in recent years, but there's so much education that needs to be done. And when you dig into that and work with each organization, depending on cultures, depending on where in the world people are, we know that different solutions will work. So it could be to do with the working hours, or it could be to do with the actual work being set. We could be looking at the environment, the physical environment, having access to natural light and cool water, air control, temperature control is really important as well. I'm working with people like police and the MOD, they're changing the uniforms. They're changing the base layers for their staff going through menopause so their clothing is more breathable. The banks are changing their uniform fabrics as well. They're not having quite so tight-fitting clothing, which could be really uncomfortable when you're having regular sweats. So there's so many different things that we can do, and we also need to educate that your lifestyle choices have an impact on how you experience menopause as well. How you eat, how you rest, how you recuperate. Being well hydrated, moving your body, having really good boundaries, and being able to talk, making sure that we don't get lost in our own heads. And we have to make sure at a time when we naturally want to withdraw, that we're making sure we're connecting with other people and we're sharing what's on our minds so that we can normalize our experience.
Thank you very much indeed. What can employers do to support staff going through the menopause?
Yeah, I think, you know, importantly, it is about raising awareness in the workplace and making sure that line management, so at the grassroots level, are equipped to have conversations with their staff about how they're feeling and spotting signs of where women are perhaps going through this stage of their life and understanding that. Because the consequences are, I think there's a statistic that one in four women going through the menopause will think about quitting the job rather than have discussions with their line managers and explain how they're struggling. And I think one in 10 actually do quit their jobs. And when this is a temporary period in their life, that is an absolute crying shame. The other thing is that we're seeing now that employment tribunals, more and more women are now saying part of their reason for leaving work and the complaint with their employer is because they didn't take on board that menopause was a contributing factor to, say, perhaps poor performance. So those sorts of things are real life issues that employers will have to deal with. So sensibly, they should definitely have a menopausal policy so that that can be giving the backbone of how procedurally managers and staff can communicate and work through any particular issues that are impacting on the workplace because of a woman going through the menopause. As I say, training is vitally important, and I know that that's an area that Lauren supports a lot of employers with, giving them the wherewithal and the understanding and the knowledge to feel confident to have those sorts of discussions. And it's keeping it alive as a topic, along with all general mental health issues and physical health issues that might impact on the workplace. So that's from director levels all the way down, that there is a general openness and understanding culture of menopause in the workplace.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Juliet. I think that it is about just being more aware of the needs of individuals, and that goes to everybody's health and well-being. It is that kind of being able to really recognise and understand what an individual is experiencing, what they're going through, whatever that happens to be. And menopause is a really good lead to open those conversations, because it's the same skills that you're training your well-being people, your mental health first aiders. It's recognising what someone's experiencing, thinking about how you can communicate with them, holding a meaningful, confidential conversation with them, and then following up. But doing that in a way that's going to land well with somebody who's possibly feeling quite vulnerable and is feeling a little bit nervous about having that conversation or these types of things, which historically I think we thought of as private. Certainly my generation growing up, you know, you parked your personal life at the front door. But we need to start recognizing that we're living in very, very changing and different times than 20, 30, 40 years ago when, you know, I started out working. Another thing that I love introducing is reverse mentoring. So having, you know, mentors and buddies set up in the organization so that you can share experiences. And that's becoming very powerful because younger women are talking about their periods. They're talking about the different needs that they've got, and they're helping normalize the conversation at work. And when you've got two different age groups, different stages of life, sharing what that means to them in the workplace, it starts opening up conversations as well. Because the employer's responsibility is to have the policies and the culture and the environment, but the individual needs to be empowered to be able to make those choices for themselves to stay on their A game and to be able to step up and look after their well-being as well.
For an employer's point of view, it's about understanding and putting in place good plan of reasonable adjustments that suits the woman going through. But of course, the line managers at the beginning need to understand that that is their obligation to support and to consider those things with people. You know, it is very much a collaborative discussion to get to an agreement on what would work to help someone in the workplace.
Yeah, and I love encouraging employers to look at their entire employee life cycle as well. So when they're doing job design, to look at the job design and really think about who that's going to work well for. Look at the words and the language they're using in the recruitment process, and actually, what is that recruitment process? Is it going to be fit for purpose for somebody that's going through menopause? Perhaps they can send questions in advance. Perhaps it can be done remotely. Looking at the onboarding process, is menopause being mentioned in handbooks? Is it being referred to in that initial training? Is it part of mandatory training? Thinking about your HR system, do you have a flag on your HR system that means that people that are taking time off can actually say that they've got period problems, menopause issues? Are you recording that so that you understand what the return on investment on menopause training is? There's some phenomenal studies done in Victoria and in Australia that show that when you allow people to take the days they need off when they're menstruating and going through menopause, that over a 2-year period, women took less time off. They took 7 to 8 days off as opposed to nearly double that. They also felt more supported, more listened to, and their attrition rates improved as well. What would happen if you took the risk if you implemented a policy like that and just monitor it for a year. You can always stop it and change it. But everybody that has done that has found that when people feel listened to, supported, and they can take the time that they need, get the support and help that they actually require, that they will not just turn up more, but they will perform at a better level as well.
Fantastic. If you don't mind, Julia, I'd like to rewind and hopefully we can just discuss your personal experience at a moment. You mentioned that 1 in 4 women consider leaving the workplace when experiencing menopause symptoms. When you heard that term perimenopausal that you mentioned you hadn't heard previously, were you concerned about a stigma attached to the menopause?
For me, I mean, I'm very lucky that I have a female line manager. But even then, when I started to realise that this was an issue and I'd been to the doctor and things like that, I wasn't very upfront. And you want to put on, you know, a confident persona, and I didn't want to sort of let people know too much that I was feeling anxious because I was worried about what conclusions they might draw for themselves. But as time went on, I did start to discuss it and very quickly realised that I had sympathetic ears in terms of my line manager, and we discussed how that was impacting me, and I was given lots of assurances and the understanding that I could be as flexible as I needed to be and all of those sorts of things that really did help. But I understand not everybody gets that sort of experience. As time has gone on, I've pushed myself to be more vocal about this as a topic and put my own insecurities to one side. But I can't stress enough, that's a tough thing to do. That's a really tough thing to do, because you do feel in society still that the stigma is there. And because people haven't perhaps felt it themselves, they've got no appreciation of what it feels like and how it impacts on day-to-day life.
Were you comfortable broaching the subject in your private life? Did you feel isolated?
I think I'm very fortunate that I've got friends of the same age, so I've had that as a sort of community, as for want of a better word. But, you know, in terms of talking about it with my family, I haven't discussed it in the same way with, say, my husband or my parents. My mum, I have. You know, it's interesting because she's, you know, 20 years before went through the menopause, but actually she didn't recognise it as the menopause. She just thought she was depressed, and I just thought she was depressed. So look how far we've come in our understanding and knowledge of the subject.
Lauren, is there a common ground that women experiencing the menopause feel in terms of isolation, depression, not as a result of hormonal changes, but as a result of society's reaction to the menopause? Is it an isolating experience?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And often I'll get people coming to me saying, you know, what is it? Is it menopause? Is it thyroid? Is it life stress? And actually, it's really difficult to unpick. You know, someone said on International Women's Day this year, we're doing the jobs that our fathers did, and we're doing the jobs that our mothers did. So what's gone is the community. We don't have the friendship groups that we used to have. We don't have, you know, family members and neighbours that help look after the kids. So we're in an environment where I think we feel more stressed and more depressed generally, and our anxiety levels are a lot higher before we even get to perimenopause. And I think when you add into the mix that we might have young children, we might have elderly parents that we're looking after, they're not all within a 3 to 5 mile radius anymore. People are living all over the place. So you've got a situation, for example, at the time of my going through menopause, not knowing that it was menopause, I had my son critically ill in the Bristol Children's Hospital. So I was working from his hospital bed for 2 weeks, then being told to go home because they didn't think there was anything else that they could do for him. I didn't miss a beat from work because I didn't want to be seen as weak and vulnerable. Now, in reflection, when I look back, that was ridiculous. I should never have put myself in that situation. The only person putting pressure on me was me. But my employer didn't think to say to me, take some time off. So when you ask the question about, is it societal pressure or, you know, not necessarily the hormonal thing, actually, I think it's really hard to unpick and unravel. I think we're putting pressures on ourselves and we're trying to fit in and do what we've seen everybody else do. And our self-care has taken an absolute nosedive. So for me, one of the biggest things I invite people to do is get well hydrated. Embrace the fact that you're menopausal or perimenopausal, because I think it's a badge of honour to get to the point of being menopausal. And I also invite people to think about the fact that they have achieved so much in their life with every obstacle that's been thrown at them along the way. By the time they become menopausal and they don't have to worry about monthly cycles anymore and all the hormonal ups and downs that come with that, just imagine what they can achieve in the next part of their life. You've got another 30, 40 years ahead of you where you can absolutely boost your vitality, increase your influence at home, work and beyond, and step fully into your personal power.
That's such a positive thing, Lauren. As I say, I'm so looking forward to coming out the other side. That's a really lovely thing to hear, really.
Lauren, one of your questions was, what can we do to collectively redress the balance? Is there any more that you'd like to say on that?
Yeah, I mean, going back to the whole education piece, it's so important that we stop people from suffering needlessly through menopause. It's lack of knowledge. It's lack of knowing how to get the right help and support. I know from the years of working with women that when they understand that the choices they're making on a day-to-day basis impact their symptoms and that they can take control of them. So HRT is a conversation they should be having with their doctor. There are other prescriptions that can be made, and having that conversation with the doctor, going in with your symptoms list, going in with the NICE guidelines, having the conversation with the doctor, whether they're educated in menopause or not, you can guide them to talk to you about what's available, and then you can go away and do a bit of homework, go back and then look at what medication, if any, you want to take. Clearly not everybody wants to or can take HRT. But the other factor is, if you're going to thrive through menopause and live well in your later years, you need to be looking after yourself. If you live in a life of perpetual stress, it is going to have a knock-on impact on everything, menopause included. So we need to be looking at mindset, hydration, nutrition, movement, relationships, boundaries, learning to say no without guilt. If you don't look after yourself, you are going to run out of steam eventually. So when your hormones are going through a massive shuffle and they're taking these few years to settle back down, you have to put yourself first. Doing one thing at a time means that you don't get distracted, so you can focus better. Being hydrated improves your mood and removes your brain fog and the bloating. We all know about how important it is to move, and I'm not advocating you have to hit the gym, but it is important to be doing some strength work and cardiovascular work and stretching. All of these things are what needs to go into the education piece, and it has to be done in the workplace, because unless there's some massive government media campaign, it is the only place that we're going to access that information. And the return on investment for one person leaving the workplace, as Juliet said, you know, 1 in 10 people do leave as a result of menopause. There's loads to be done, loads. We're at the beginning of the journey. As I said, I've been doing this for 8 years. I'm seeing big steps forward, but we still have got a long way to go.
It's from top down, though. I can't stress that enough. I think that if you've got an organisation that just flips in a policy, but then, you know, the male directors aren't interested, and that speaks volumes, and it's that you might as well not do anything. So if you're going to look at this and do the right thing, it's not just about a policy document. It's about everything else, all of your actions before, during and after. As a woman going through it, the mental effects and things like that can be really quite debilitating. The discussion and the conversation needs to continue.
If you don't mind me asking, what was the worst it got when you were suffering debilitating consequences? What was the worst it got? What was the lowest you felt?
Because of the pandemic as well, that made people feel quite different. So all of a sudden, we were working at home. Not having that office environment was really quite tough. I still don't sleep particularly well. So there are days where I feel utterly, utterly exhausted and brain fog doesn't work. But the pressures of work are, of course, still there. You know, I'm here to do a job. There have been a couple of times along the way where I have been a 1 in 4 statistic where I've thought, you know, I need to leave this job. I'll go and work in a supermarket or something rather than trying to grapple with what I'm doing. But, you know, I'm very fortunate that Clark Wilmot and my line manager have been so supportive of me along the way.
That's really powerful hearing that you considered jacking in, you know, your career. Have you changed, Juliet? This is a kind of philosophical question. It might not go anywhere, but have you changed as a person as a result of the experience, both the menopause and people's reaction to it?
You know, when I look back over my career, as I say, I've worked for sort of 30 odd years in a full-time job And everything just, when I reflect, it felt so much easier. Although I had tough things to learn and do, and yet nothing seemed to faze me. And that was the big change, is that suddenly things did faze me. I would be driving to work and feeling these huge waves of anxiety and thinking, where's this coming from?
Lauren, my question for you is the same. From a personal perspective rather than your professional one, did the experience of the menopause, I mean, goodness me, you thought you had early onset dementia and you did leave your role. How have you come out of the other side in that broadly philosophical sense? What's your emotional response?
That's a brilliant question, and it's something I haven't been asked before. For me, I came home from the school run one day and somebody was parked across my driveway, which is not that unusual because I live across the road from a school. And I had a client meeting, so I thought, well, I'll just drive up the road, I'll find somewhere to park. Couldn't find anywhere to park, drove around the block. The car was still there. There were two men standing across the road having a conversation. I started getting really frustrated, really angry, really upset, the point of tears running down my face. I eventually dumped the car in a double yellow line and I went into the house beside myself, completely beside myself. I found myself beating the living daylights out of the kitchen floor. And what was going through my mind at the time was, my son's safe. He's safe. He's in school. He's been there for a few years. He's being well looked after. I don't want to be here anymore. I just didn't want to be here. And for 45 minutes, I cried my heart out. And I don't know what happened. I'd had enough. I was done. I couldn't see the point. I couldn't feel any value that I was adding. I just couldn't see the point. And I don't know what happened and I don't know what changed, but I just suddenly got up and I looked out the window and the car had gone. And I was angry and I felt emotion again. I felt something again. And in that moment, I just took a breath and I stared at the space outside my front door. And I just looked and I just went, what on earth am I doing? Why did I not just go up to the guys and say, excuse me, is that your car? Would you mind moving up a bit? That's what I would have done before then. That's what I do today. So do I feel empowered? Yes, I feel empowered. I've stood in stages all over the world talking about menopause. I've been in the press and the media. I've been front of house talking about this. If anyone had told me 10 years ago, I would say the word menopause out loud. Even in a social circle, I would have laughed my head off. And yet now, I don't care what anyone thinks about me, what I look like, what I sound like, or how I come across. If I can help one person make a difference in their approach and their attitude towards menopause, I've done my job. And frankly, it's so freeing. I spend so much more better quality time with my son. I spend so much more time with my family, with my friends. I make sure I see my friends now because for 18 months, I completely withdrew. And it's just great now to be able to, last year I did the National Three Peaks with a fantastic group in Bristol. And this year I'm supposed to be doing the London to Essex bike ride. And I love it. It's just entirely freeing. I don't know how or what that day from feeling so upset and so dark, but sometimes they say that you have to have a breakdown before you have a breakthrough. In that moment, I absolutely had a breakthrough and I knew that my mission was to make sure that nobody else went through what I did.
Absolutely incredibly powerful, Lauren. Thank you very much for all of your insights. You know, because I've taken a lot from it today as well. So I really appreciate that.
Lauren, you mentioned a little bit earlier on that everyone in society needs to know more about the menopause. So where do they start?
Yep, no, I absolutely agree. We all are going to live with, work with, or socialise with somebody going through menopause. And it can be a really scary time for the person going through it. And they might not recognise that they've actually started on that journey. So if we all learn about menopause, we can help each other. And that's what's so exciting. One of the things I offer every 2 months is a free 3-day course. And it's not 3 days, it's 3 half hours, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, UK lunchtime. And we cover what menopause really is. We discuss it in a way that's totally accessible for everybody. On the second day, on the Tuesday lunchtime, we discuss how you can help yourself and help others through menopause And on the Wednesday, that's when we talk about menopause and work. So whether you're an employer or an employee, that's a really great place to tap in as well. So they're on offer live, free, every 2 months. And it's a great place for everybody to be able to just set an even playing field about what menopause is, how to help each other and normalise this as a topic.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lauren. So I guess from what you're saying, conversations around the menopause, which haven't really existed previously, are beginning to start. Is that fair?
Definitely. I think the media's had a really good role in this, and Parliament as well. But so many more employers are beginning to bring this on board. It's being taught in secondary schools now as well. So yes, the conversation is definitely starting. It's got a way to go. But everything, including this conversation, is an incredible step forward to normalise menopause.